think it is, and say, get this. And, you know, and then while he's talking, this woman's hands come out the side of the picture. And she just starts stroking his face. You know, starts stroking his face. And now he becomes all tongue-tied. He can hardly get out his words. You know what I'm saying? And then he said, man, maybe I need to put some of this on my head. Because of how the woman is stroking him. Amen. Because understand something, y'all. Understand something. What many of you ladies need to do is to take a page out of Delilah's book. Now, I'm not trying to say be deceitful. Hey, y'all hearing me here? I'm not trying to say be manipulative or anything like that. I'm not trying to say use no witchcraft on the board, nothing like that. But guess what? But look at what Delilah did. She made the strongest man in the world so comfortable that he laid his head down in her lap. And felt no threat of danger. He didn't feel that he was jeopardizing or compromising himself any whatsoever because of how comfortable she made him. Sweetheart, do you do that for your man? Huh? Do you make him feel comfortable at all? Watch this. Have you created such an environment that you want the man, watch this, that the man wants to come home? Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. You're right, man. It was quiet, ain't it? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Because the environment in your household should be so peaceful that this man realizes that you have created Jerusalem. Jerusalem meaning city of peace, and that there's such peace in your household, he can't wait to get there. In fact, he can't wait for his work day to be over because he wants to hasten and run and get next to you because of how you make him feel. Amen. And because the man is a giver, you make him feel like that, I guarantee you, whatever needs you're looking for to be met, he'll come through for you. But see, here's your problem. You only see yourself as a receiver, as a responder. And yes, that's the way God made you. However, in the midst of receiving, there's giving. Because remember, I said he also made you not only a receiver, but a responder. So therefore, you should be able to respond to what you're given. So when the man does nice things for you, why keep on talking about how all this time, now you're just finally doing something for me? Where was the flowers at a year ago? You ain't sent no cars before. Now all of a sudden, now you're going to do all this nice stuff. Sweetheart, please forgive Bishop as I said this. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. And stop complaining about what the man did not do before. And how about praising God for what he's doing right now? He wasn't doing them things before. Maybe he ain't know no better. Maybe he was operating out of ignorance. I don't know. But if he was, then stop complaining because at least, praise God, now he got the revelation. But it was because of what it was that you did. You created the environment. Because let me say this to you, and I think I'm just about done. Because here's the thing, y'all. Either you, and you've heard me teach this before, some of y'all new folks haven't heard this, but here's the thing. Either you can be a thermostat or you can be a thermometer. You make the choice. Either be a thermometer or to be what? Thermostat. You can be a thermostat. Now, what does that mean? If you are a thermometer, the thermometer only registers the temperature in a particular environment. The thermostat changes the temperature. So you then, by God, have been given the ability to be able to change the temperature. So either you can make it balmy, you know, wonderful, warm, even sometimes hot, California, or you can make it frigid, rigid, cold, Antarctic. It is up to you. So now when your husband walks into your home, which of the two environments have you created? He walk into the house and all you give the boy is a TV dinner. And don't even serve it hot. Still cold in the box. So what we having for dinner tonight? Oh, you see when you get in the kitchen, go ahead. He walk in the kitchen and here's the box. Stuff still in the box. With a fork and knife and napkin next to it. And still in the box. And he got to take it out and heat it all up himself. There's no love in that. Are y'all still here? You say you want, I don't know why, my husband, he don't praise me. He don't ever have nothing nice to say about me. You know what I'm saying? Again, could it be because you have nothing nice to say about him? What do you say to him? What do you say to him? What kind of conversations do you actually have with him, dear sister? How do you talk? First of all, as I said, lower the volume. And then change your words. Change your words, because if you really want to see that man shut down, keep talking the way you're talking. And he will remain withdrawn into himself and will never desire to be with you, around you, near you. You know what I'm saying? Don't want to hear from you. Will live in the same house with you and live in another part of the house. Because he would rather, the Bible says it, it is better to live in a wide house than have to live in a room with a nagging woman. I'm on my way there. Oh yeah, not only did he say live in a wide house, he said it's even better to live on the rooftop. In other words, don't even have to be in the house at all. Than to live with a nagging woman. The Bible says, watch this. The Bible says that a nagging woman is like a faucet of water that's just dripping, beating in the head. Can you imagine that? Laying up under a dripping faucet for about 30 minutes. Imagine what that would do to your head, to your psyche. Cheer your emotions up. In fact, some of the, you know, like back during the World War II era, you know, the Japanese used to use that. That was torture. They were torture person, running person crazy. Having that just drop, bip, 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 bip. And the word says, dear sister, that when you continue nagging, that's how that man perceives it. And you wondering why he won't buy you new things. You wondering why he won't take you anywhere. You're wondering why. And that is the reason. Because you don't do the things you're supposed to do for him. Amen. Amen. Now, come on, ladies, because I did talk about the men too, so don't. All right, this is balanced. This is balanced. This is balanced. Amen. Yeah, y'all can come on, John. Y'all can come on. You know, because we gotta get some stuff straightened out. And until there is order in our homes, we will never ever be able to see the kind of power that should reside in the house of God. Because there are too many people who bring dysfunction to church. Here it is, y'all been operating dysfunctionally for weeks, months, years now. Even sleeping in separate bedrooms. And then come to church together. And y'all want to call that a family. Call yourselves having a husband and wife relationship. And such is not the case. Because of the fact that the two of you don't even communicate. And then want to come in here and lift your hands to God as if everything is okay between you. And please know, if there is no worship, there'll be no rain. I wish I had time to really dig deep into that. I don't. I gotta go shortly. But again, if there's no worship, there's what? No rain. There'll be no rain. And if there's no rain, there'll be no trees. And if there's no trees, there'll be no fruit. And if there's no fruit, there'll be no life. So in other words, until you guys learn how to worship with each other. Brother, are you really a priest in your home? Do you really share the word of God in your home? Do you even know the word of God? Because you're supposed to be the primary teacher in your household. Your wife should be able to get the word from you. Amen. She should be able to get the word from you. Uh-huh. That's right. You're supposed to know the word so well that if, in fact, you guys were to hear something in here that she needed clarity on, she should be able to turn to you and say, honey, what was the man of God saying today? And you should be able to give her some clarity on the word of God because of how much time you spend in it. Because think about this. Before God gave man a job, and before God gave man a wife, he gave him himself. That's what he gave him first, was himself. That's why Adam was so easy to recognize God's voice when it came walking when they fell. He knew God's voice. And so right now, man of God, do you know God's voice? Do you have a sensitivity to his voice so that when God is speaking to you about you, your wife, and your family, if you have a family, but if he's just speaking to you about your wife or speaking to you about the two of you, do you honestly know when God is talking to you? And can you clearly articulate that to your wife? How in the world you gonna talk to her about doing new things and you ain't heard nothing new lately? You are the priest of the household. You are the spiritual guardian. It's about time you start acting like it. Those children of yours ought to hear you praying. Ought to know that you spend quality time and quantity time in the presence of God. And that when you come out, they can always tell that things are different. Are y'all hearing me? That things are different because of how you are giving clear direction for your family. And watch this. And that your wife trusts you because she knows you hear from God. Hallelujah. So start sharing, because here's the thing, man. Some of y'all men say, well, she don't listen to me. If she knew that you spent time talking to God, she'd be willing to listen. Please know this. Please know this, and I promise you I pray. Please know this. The ultimate act of submission is not on the woman. Hear me again. The ultimate act of submission is not on the woman. The ultimate act of submission is on the man. The only reason why some women seemingly in appearance are non-submissive is only because of the fact that they've never seen what submission looks like. A man is supposed to mirror or to project submission, because if you are in submission to God, then the woman has no problem submitting to you. Greatest act of submission, Ephesians 5:25. See, I know we love to start at 22. Wives, submit yourself to your own husband, you know, and then go down to 24. You know, therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wife be submitted unto her husband. And it says in everything. A man want to go and grab them scriptures right fast. But let's slide on down to 25. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So every man must be willing to love his wife so. until he is willing to give his life for her, if that's what it takes. Y'all brothers, y'all got real quiet. So all of you ladies who are not married yet, if this guy is talking about marrying you, ask him, would you be willing to die for me? And if he wouldn't be willing to die for you, run! Get away! He should be willing to die for you. Remember, understand why. In order for Eve to be birthed, Adam, in a sense of speaking, had to die. He had to give up life for her to have life. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. And when God opened up his side, blood had to come out in order for Eve to live. So, brothers, what kind of sacrifice are you willing to make for the woman in your life? Are you willing to give your all to see her live? Are you willing to give your all to see her become everything she should become? Because the ability to cultivate and to develop is in your being. You have that ability, man. It's innate. It was born and birthed within you. When God put you in the planet, it was already inside you that you have the ability to cultivate and to develop. He told the man to go into the garden to dress it and to keep it. And he had never had a class on horticulture. And he was able to do that because it was already in him to cultivate and to develop. Therefore, everything and anything a man touches should be better because he put his hand on it. So that means, man, you brothers who ain't married yet, that means this, is that if a woman comes into your life, and even if you don't end up marrying her, when she leaves you, she should be all the better. And when she leaves you, she shouldn't be pregnant either. So, sweetheart, I close with saying this. If you're not married yet, then please know you can do bad by yourself. You don't need a man to come into your life. And you're going to be worse off being with him than you were without him. Amen. Life is supposed to improve because this man is in your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So please, y'all. And as I said, this was not what I had at 8:00. So please make sure you get that CD because it's important to you as well. Okay, but you needed this today, and I have no doubt in my mind that it's needed, because a lot of you'll come to the house of God and know you're struggling. You know you're struggling, and then watch this. Here we provide counseling in this house, but you've already predetermined that if Bishop don't do it, I'm not going to go to the counselor. And then some of you men are so full of pride. Can't no man tell me what to do. Can't nobody tell. I don't need nobody counseling me. I don't need anybody to tell me nothing. Yeah, and that's the reason why your marriage is all jacked up. Because can't nobody tell you nothing. You're too proud. You got too much of a big ego. Let the Lord stick a pin in your balloon, man. And to realize that you don't have all the answers. You know you don't. Because of the fact that, hey, if you knew the answers, then you'd be able to resolve that stuff and resolve it through God by the scriptures, by the power of the Holy Spirit. But you got to, first of all, get to know the word. For some of you men in here right now, when the last time you prayed with your wife? When you pray with her? Y'all have no intimacy because you don't even share anything spiritual together. The only thing y'all share together really is the bed. I better shut up, man. That's the only thing y'all really share. Equally is the bed. And even that, many times is no fun anymore. Because there's no romance. There's no passion. Some of y'all in here right now, you can't remember the last time the two of you shared a real passionate kiss with each other. Don't even know when that happened last. Ain't no passion shared at all. All y'all do now is just exchange bodily fluids. And you want to call that a relationship. Because that's not a celebration, that's toleration. And we're supposed to live in such a way that in our household we should be able to celebrate each other. Think about this, y'all. Think about this. Think about this. Think about this. You say you love one another, but do you like each other? Do you like the woman? Do you like the man? Do you like them? The longer you live together, the more you should really enjoy each other's company. Amen. You should enjoy each other's company. Just love being around each other. Man, when I'm away from here, and as much as I love that man of God right there, I love David. But God knows I can't wait to get back to my wife. Yes, sir. Can't wait, man. Because, you know, after a while, I'm on the road as much as I am. And hey, you know, after a while, hugging a pillow get old. You know what I'm saying, Lee? You know, that stuff get old, man. I want to hug my wife. I want to hug my wife. And you know what? You know what, man? Daryl, many times, and when I want to hug her, it ain't because I'm looking for anything either. Huh? I'm not looking for sex. I'm not looking for that. I just want to be around her. I just want to touch her. You know? Let her touch me. That's all. Amen. You know, that's how I love her. And you know, and I've watched, you know, because I had to grow in that too. You know what I'm saying? Because for me, ministry was such a great part of my life. It still is. But I had to get to the place to where I made all kinds of room for her because of how I want to make sure that she always knows that no matter what I do for the kingdom of God, that she is an integral part of what I do. And I enjoy her company. She make me laugh. Yeah. She made me laugh. She made me laugh. You know, because what she calls it making memories. You know, and sometimes she'll do just some real wild stuff. You know, something that just is just sometimes even nonsensical. You know, and I look at it and of course I just bust out laughing, you know, and we share those kinds of moments together. You know, because she's the kind of woman, you know, that she'll trip up on a sidewalk, you know, and fall down on the ground and be sitting there. And rather than, you know, I'm thinking, oh, God, are you all right? You hurt? She is laughing like crazy. Yeah, she'll do that. She laugh. I mean, just laugh, you know. And so I had to learn that because see, I had to learn. See, because I'll tell you how Gilbert Coleman has been, that if I would trip and fall something like that and they start laughing at me, it wasn't funny to me. It wasn't funny. What y'all laughing at? Sitting down here and I'm skinning my knees up, man. Don't be laughing at me. But my wife taught me how to laugh at myself. She taught me. And my brothers, there's a whole lot you can learn from that woman. There's a whole lot you can learn from her. Stop allowing your ego to rule you. Because you know what ego actually stands for? If I ever use an acronym for ego, ego means exiting God out. Because every time you operate through your ego, that's what you do. You exit God out. Remain humble before God. And I guarantee you what you're going to do, my brother and my sister, is to produce a love environment in which not only you, but also your children can grow as they watch the two of you love on each other. Do y'all ever have intimate moments of those you have children? Do you ever have intimate moments in front of your children? Now, I ain't talking about, you know, right here. But to have those intimate moments, you know, where, hey, you know, just the two of you decided you wanted to embrace, and you embrace each other. You embrace each other because of how much you still care for one another. That you honestly enjoy each other's company. See, that's why some of y'all won't go on no vacation together. Because you're forced just to be with you and her, or him and her alone. And you know that if y'all go on a vacation, just the two of you, then you are forced to do something that you haven't done in a long time. Talk. You gotta talk. And you gotta talk about something other than bills and children. You learn how to talk about each other. My brother, do you know where your wife is at right now spiritually? Where is she at? What passage of scripture or what book of the Bible is she reading right now? Amen. What's her prayer time? Amen. Uh-oh. Some of us in here, you don't have a clue. You don't know what she's doing. In fact, many of us don't even care about what's happening in that woman's life spiritually. And here it is that God tells you to nurture her and to nourish her by the washing of water by the word. That's your responsibility, to make sure that she continues to grow. And there are some of you in here right now, you are a derelict as it relates to your duty. I better shut up. Because, I mean, it got real tight on that one, boy. Men, the woman wants you. I'm going to say it again. Maybe get a little closer to the camera. Men, the women want you. And I ain't talking about sexually. They want you. They just want you to be there for them. That's all. And stop seeing her as the reason why you got problems in life. She ain't the problem.